Fred's going to be talking about perspective today. And I thought it'd be a good idea. Maybe that'll stay. To get a perspective. If we have any young ones in here that want to come up, we're going to be going to junior church right after this, which will be through this door, the next door, directly left, and there'll be a classroom straight across. Just listen for all the play and that kind of stuff. You'll be able to find us. But if you guys want to come forward and have a seat, if not, I can go ahead and get started, and then we'll go back here in a minute. We talk about David and Goliath a lot, and I thought it'd be a good idea. I brought some stuff with me this morning to kind of show off a perspective of Goliath. Yeah, I brought a ladder with me, because Goliath is pretty tall. And how many of you know that we have little clips up here, if you've seen them or not? Last time we used it was probably VBS. We bring these down. And I have a little bit faster than this. There we go. Bring the clip down. Got it?
Yeah.
All right. And we hook it to this silhouette that I modeled for. And we bring out Goliath. Goliath, there we go. What do you guys think of that? He's a little bit bigger, or might be a little bit skinnier than you thought? Maybe? Yeah, well, I didn't want to make it too gruesome. All right, we'll see if that holds for now. All right, so we've got, and this is an average height. Scholars have all kinds of different heights for him, between 7'10 and 11 foot. So this is 9 feet tall. This is a 9 foot tall Goliath, silhouette of Goliath here. You're 13, right? Just turned 13 this year? Come over here. Come over here. This would have been about the average age of David at this time. And this is who we would have sent out to battle, our Goliath here. All right? And take your sling. Yeah, there you go. There you go. Yeah, punch him in the kneecaps. All right. Punch him in the kneecaps. Now, if you look at something like this, and this was coming out full armor, you got a shield probably this high with the guy holding it for him. He's got a spear, and he's yelling at you, and you're going to come out into that valley to fight this guy. Right? And somebody, Joey's size, says, yeah, I can do it. I got this. And that's pretty crazy, because I'm telling you right now, I'm kind of with the Israelites. This guy's huge. All right? Scary. It's very scary. And it's hard to think that God's got this when you're facing something this big. But when we're thinking about... Good job! It took him down! All right. Perfect timing. Perfect timing. We think about the size of Goliath, and we think about the size of our world. We're about here somewhere. He's on the ground now. Think about our church building. Can any of you guys see our church building here? No, you can't, can you? You can't see our church building. God can. God's big enough to be able to take down a giant with a young man. You think he's big enough to know what we're going through? It's all in our perspective. And that's what Fred's going to be talking about as I pull that back up. Thank you.
Appreciate it so much, Brother Ben. And I like that. I'm glad you did that. I didn't know he was going to do that, but that will even put my sermon in greater perspective today, okay? I want you to open your Bible to 1 Samuel chapter 17. 1 Samuel chapter 17, the story of David and Goliath. And what I want us to do, I want us to look at verses 41, from the beginning here, 41 through 45. And we'll come back and we'll read the rest of the story just a little bit. 1 Samuel chapter 17, beginning with verse 41. It says, meanwhile, the Philistine, this is the giant Goliath, with his shield bearer in front of him, kept coming closer to David. He looked David over and saw that he was only a boy, ruddy and handsome, and he despised him. He said to David, am I a dog that you come to me with a stick? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. Come here, he said, and I'll give your flesh to the birds of the air and the beasts of the field. David said to the Philistine, you come against me with sword and spear and javelin, but I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. You know, it's fascinating how different people can see the same thing and have completely different reactions or perspectives. Back in high school, during my psychology class, one day a guy burst into the room, grabbed the purse of one of the girls sitting on the front row, and stormed out the door. And some of the kids screamed. One boy and girl jumped up and ran to the back corner. A football player ran out the door trying to chase him down. And me, I just sat there with a shocked look on my face. Now, after the teacher yelled at the football player to come back into the room, he told us that this was an experiment to determine how different people would react to the very same situation. And he then asked us to give us description of the personature. And of course, there were different perspectives as to what this guy looked like. You know, the color of his hair. Was it brown? Was it blonde? Was it redheaded? You know, there were different views as to what color his hair was. The kind of clothing that he was wearing. How old and how tall he was. There was some debate as to whether or not he had a tattoo on his neck. And most of us, you know, kind of saw him as this tough-looking guy that you wouldn't want to meet in a dark alley. But when the teacher brought him back in, he turned out to be a baby-faced, nerdy-looking kid who was no more than, 5'7", weighed around 130 pounds. And yet, bursting in, taking the purse, running out the door, we thought, man, there has to be somebody big, you know, who come in like that. But all was different perspective. Now, perspective plays an important role in one's life and actually can determine one's direction in life. And it's especially true when it comes to facing life's problems and challenges. And depending upon our perspective, problems can either paralyze us or they can make us stronger. Depends, again, on our perspective. And this is certainly a lesson that we can glean from 1 Samuel chapter 17. Now the biblical account of David and Goliath is not just an exciting story taught to children during vacation Bible school and church camp. It is an actual historical event that teaches us that seemingly insurmountable odds do not have the last say when we have God on our side. Amen? It's a matter of looking at life's problems and challenges from either a worldly perspective or a spiritual perspective. And our perspective of the way that we view life's problems can make the difference between power or panic, faith or fear. The difficulties we face are only as big as we make God small. And if God is not big enough to handle our problems, regardless of what they are, then we are in for a world of hurt. You know, I believe it is simply a matter of walking by faith and not by sight, as Paul tells us to do in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 7. And the biblical principle was clearly demonstrated on the day when young David faced and defeated the Philistine warrior named Goliath with just a slingshot. Now, David, however, is not the only one who has faced a Goliath. Throughout our lifetimes, there have been many giants that have come our way. Most we have defeated with the help of God. Some we are still battling. But your Goliath doesn't carry a sword or shield. He is armed with more subtle weapons like disappointment, guilt, uncertainty, anger, depression. Your Goliath doesn't parade up and down the hills of Elah instilling fear. He prances through your place of work, your bedroom, your classroom. He brings you bills that you can't pay. People you can't please. Alcohol you cannot resist. Pornography you cannot refuse. A past that you cannot shake and a future that you cannot face. But like David, we realize that regardless of how big our giants are, we have someone on our side who is bigger. Amen? We have someone on our side who is bigger. In fact, the Apostle Paul reminds us in Romans 8, verse 31, that if God is for us, who can be against us? Will you say this with me? If God is for us, who can be against us? And the key is to focus on God and not the Goliath in our lives. And what becomes big, the big thing in our life, is the very thing that will dominate. So let's make it God, okay? Let's make it God. So I want us to take a look, first of all, at a gigantic problem, okay? Again, we're in 1 Samuel chapter 17. I want you to follow with me now, verses 1 through 11. Now the Philistines gathered their forces for war and assembled at Soco in Judah. They pitched camp at Ephes-Damon between Soco and Azekah. Kind of sounds like Kentucky towns, doesn't it? But Saul and the Israelites assembled and camped in the valley of Elah and drew up their battle line to meet the Philistines. The Philistines occupied, just kind of imagine this, the Philistines occupied one hill and the Israelites another with a valley between them. A champion named Goliath, who was from Gath, came out of the Philistine camp. He was over 9 feet tall. He had a bronze helmet on his head and he wore a coat of scale armor of bronze weighing 5,000 shekels. On his legs, he wore bronze greaves and a bronze javelin was slung on his back. His spear shaft was like a weaver's rod and its iron point weighed 600 shekels. His shield bearer went ahead of him. Goliath stood and shouted to the ranks of Israel, "Why do you come out and line up for battle? Am I not a Philistine? Are you not servants of Saul? Choose a man and have him come down, and if he is able to fight and kill us, we will become your subjects. But if I'm able to overcome him and kill him, you will become our subjects and serve us." And then the Philistine said, "This day I defy the ranks of Israel. Give me a man and let us fight each other." And on hearing this, the Philistines' words, Saul and all the Israelites were dismayed and terrified. Now, our text takes us to the crux of an impending conflict between two opposing nations located at the Valley of Elah, a vast canyon that was about 1 mile wide. assembled on the opposite sides of the valley were the armies of Israel and the Philistines, and they're out there just taunting each other. And then this imposing Goliath appears, announced as the champion of the Philistines. And he presents a challenge to the King Saul and his army. You send down your best man to fight me. If he kills me, we'll become your subjects. If I kill him, then you will serve us. And Goliath was simply calling for something that was characteristic to some of the ancient battles of the East. I mean, instead of possibly endangering two entire armies, they would just pick a champion and decide the outcome of the battle on that one man. But the Philistines had already chose their man. I mean, Goliath stood over 9 feet tall. We saw that, 9 feet. I mean, he kind of makes Shaquille O'Neal look like he's from Munchkin Land. You know what I'm talking about? His helmet and body armor weighed about 125 pounds. I was going to ask if there's anybody here who weighs 125 pounds. I thought Grady might be here. My left leg weighs that much. Kathy had her hand up. My left leg weighs that much. Just the head of his bronze javelin weighed over 15 pounds, not including the weight of the spear itself. I mean, I have trouble, you know, just handling a 16-pound bowling ball, and all I have to do is roll that thing. I mean, can you imagine throwing that heavy object? Or worse, having it thrown at you. You know, imagine that. I mean, this is quite a man. Not only is he gigantic, he is powerful. Every day, morning and evening, for 40 days straight, Goliath issued his challenge to the Israelites. But have you ever wondered why Samuel, who wrote this book, why he put so much detail in an event that was recorded for Jewish history? Why did he put so much emphasis on the size of Goliath, the weight of his armor, the fierceness of his weaponry? Well, he wants his readers to understand that there is no enemy, no thing, no problem that is big enough to defeat God's people who live by faith. That's why it's there. We all have giants in our lives. No one is excluded. No one. But what is your giant? Well, your giant may be relational. Your marriage may be on the rocks. Your children may be causing a great deal of heartache. Maybe your parents are much too strict, verbally abusive, you know, if you were a teenager. I mean, the person bringing you grief may not be a family member at all, but it could be your boss or next door neighbor, or maybe a bully at school. It could be a brother or sister in Christ who goes around spreading malicious rumors and gossip about you. Your giant may be situational. It could be a chronic illness that afflicts you, inhibits you, and keeps you from doing the things that you really enjoy. Maybe it's the mounting pressure at work, the anxiety of losing your job, the rising prices at the gas pump or the grocery store. I mean, perhaps it's the death of a loved one, or the moving away of a friend, or even the devastation caused by divorce. Your giant may be spiritual. Maybe it's a bad habit. Or a critical spirit. It could be some distressing, loathsome, sinful practice that you want to get rid of and you have tried desperately to overcome, but you just haven't been able to be set free from it. Again, we all fight giants, but the way that we see and confront the giant in our lives will determine our defeat or our victory. And so secondly, that's why I want us to look at then two perspectives. Okay, two perspectives. First of all, there is the worldly perspective of the Israelite army. Okay? the worldly perspective of the Israelite army. After Goliath presented his challenge, we see in verse 11 that Saul and all the Israelites were dismayed and terrified. Now, I kind of agree with Ben. When you look at that giant of a man who offer, you know, puts out this challenge, send one guy to fight me. I mean, I'll be stepping back away from that. I would be behind the crowd somewhere. I mean, I'm not going to fight that guy. But yet, two times a day, for 40 straight days, Goliath had taunted and belittled the Israelites. Yet, they were so afraid to do anything about it. In fact, let's read on here. Let's look at verses 20 through 24 now. Skip down to verses 20 through 24. It says, early in the morning, David left the flock with a shepherd. He was a shepherd boy. Loaded up and set out as Jesse, his father, had directed. He reached the camp as the army was going out to its battle position, shouting the war cry. Israel and the Philistines were drawing up their lines, facing each other. David left his things with the keeper of supplies, ran to the battle lines, and greeted his brothers. And as he was talking with them, Goliath, the Philistine champion from Gath, stepped out from his line and shouted his usual defiance, and David heard it. And when the Israelites saw the man, they all ran from him in great fear. Now the Israelites, well, let's stop there. Verse 24. Okay, I was so good, I was just going to keep reading. Okay? So here what we begin to see here is that David, he comes to the valley of Elah to bring food to his brothers who are on the front lines. He sees the Israelite army once again lining up to battle the Philistines. I mean, they and just kind of picture this. They take their position. They shout their war cries. The suspense is building. But as soon as Goliath steps onto the battlefield, they run like scared jackrabbits. I'm from the South. You ever seen a jackrabbit run? Man, those things can run. And when faced with a giant problem, we, like the Israelites, are often too scared, too afraid to deal with it, And too afraid not to. And this usually, you know, leads to doing nothing or running away. But brothers and sisters, as you already know, fear is Satan's most powerful weapon. That is his most powerful weapon. He knows as long as we run scared that we will be powerless. We'll be powerless in our service to God and live a pitiful, defeated existence. And that's why the Apostle Paul told Timothy, who had a difficulty with timidity, in 2 Timothy 1 verse 7, he said, God does not give us a spirit of fear. With every problem, there are options. With every problem. The Israelites could either submit or fight. That's what they could do. They could remain paralyzed with fear or choose to trust God and have one man fight for them. But yet to fight required faith in the unknown. And the Israelites weren't walking by faith but by sight. They looked at themselves, looked at Goliath, and said, no way. I mean, they saw, well, what they saw was an unconquerable enemy, and they just knew that there was no one, no champion among them who could possibly defeat the giant Goliath. However, the worldly perspective, what they thought they knew, was preventing them from truly experiencing victory. And if the devil can bring fear and doubt into our lives, then Satan knows that he has won the battle. Because fear displaces faith. Okay? Fear displaces faith. Say that with me. Fear displaces faith. I mean, John tells us in 1 John chapter 5, verse 4, that it is our faith. Our faith is the victory that overcomes the world. Not fear, it's our faith. In fact, the Hebrew writer reminds us that without faith, it is impossible to please God. Hebrews 11, verse 6. So we can look at life's problems, life's challenges from a worldly perspective, as the, you know, the Israelite army did, or we can look at, secondly, it from a spiritual perspective, as David did. Let's bring up that slide. In verses 17 through 19, David, who many scholars believe was just a teenager, probably 13, 14, 15 years old, he was asked by his father to take food to his brothers at the army camp. And while he's there, Goliath, you know, comes out the 81st time, issued his challenge for one of the Israelites to come out and fight him. And David just simply cannot believe what he's hearing. In fact, he says in verse 26, he says, "Who is this Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God?" King Saul overheard this little, you know, teenager, you know, say that. And so he sent for him. Let's read what he says to him. Verses 32 through 37. Saul replied, or probably verse 32, "David said to Saul, let no one lose heart on account of this Philistine. Your servant will go fight for him." Now picture this. Here's King Saul, and here's David. I know nobody else is going to fight for him, but I'm going to fight. You know, just let me go. I'll go fight. So it says here then in verse 33, Saul replied, "You're not able to go out against this Philistine and fight him. You're only a boy, and he has been a fighting man from his youth." But David said to Saul, "Your servant has been keeping his father's sheep. And when a lion or a bear came and called off a sheep from the flock, carried off a sheep from the flock, I went after it, struck it, and rescued the sheep from its mouth. When it turned on me, I seized it by its hair, struck it, and killed it. Your servant has killed both the lion and the bear. This uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them because he has defied the armies of the living God. The Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion, the paw of the bear, will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine." And so Saul said to David, "Go. Yeah, just go, and the Lord be with you." You know? I mean, do you think that Saul's thinking, this is going to be good. He is going to defeat Goliath. We're going to win. They're going to be our subjects, you know. I mean, that's not what he's thinking at all. He realizes he has no one else who's volunteering. So Saul is sending David. And while Israel saw a giant and said, you know, he's too big to hit. We can't win. David saw a giant and said, "He's so big, I can't miss. Man, I can't miss." While Israel saw Goliath's strengths, David saw God's power. While Israel saw defeat, David saw victory. And while Israel cowered in fear, David was strengthened through faith. Strengthened through faith. David may have been just a boy, but his faith in God made him a spiritual giant. But then in verse 38 and following, we see here that although David was offered Saul's armor and sword, which were much, much too large for him, he chose just to take a slingshot. A slingshot and five smooth stones that he found in the stream to battle the giant. I mean, Goliath, this proud champion, cannot believe his eyes. As David, little David, comes out into the field and said, "Okay." And he goes, "Am I a dog that you come out to me with sticks?" He says to David, "Come here and I'll give your flesh to the birds of the air and the beasts of the field." And from Goliath's perspective, this young kid doesn't have any chance at all to beat him because he believes that he is much too powerful. But David knows different. He said, "You come against me with a sword and a spear and a javelin, but I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty, the God of the armies of Israel that you have defied." And with one throw of the slingshot, David dropped Goliath to the ground. He dropped him to the ground, just much like what Joey did today. He just dropped him to the ground. I mean, David, could have been, easily intimidated by Goliath's size, but looking through spiritual eyes, he saw that there was no problem that God cannot handle. That's what David believed. And by faith, he defeated the giant. Some Bible scholars suggest that the very reason that David chose five stones instead of just one, out of faith, knowing I'm going to bring him down, is because Goliath had four brothers. And he was ready for those guys just in case they came after him too. I mean, that's faith, isn't it? If that's true, that is faith. And we do know that later, from a later time, David and his men did kill Goliath's four brothers. 2 Samuel 21, verses 19 through 22 tells us. We learn three lessons here on how, as to how we are to deal with giants, that giants in our lives. First of all, you can run away from it in fear, as did the Israelites. You can just run. I'm not going to deal with it. I'm just going to run. Secondly, you can arrogantly think that you are more powerful than any problem and can handle it yourself, as did Goliath. Or thirdly, you can give it to God by faith, as did David. I don't know what your giants, the giants you may be facing today. I mean, you may be standing in a valley in your life today. You know, just dealing with the threat of the enemy who's placing all kinds of problems and difficulties in your life that is just trying to rob your hope and your joy. And again, it may relate to your job, a problem with a family member, with money issues, a personal crisis, could be illness, personal entanglement with sin. Whatever it might be, I mean, you realize that I cannot defeat this giant all by myself. And whatever it is, God is bigger than the problem. And if you place complete faith in Him, you will overcome and you will be victorious. Amen? You will be victorious. So there are two perspectives in life. There is God's perspective, and then there's the giant's perspective. And the choice is clear. I heard Max Lucado. I was able to, Max Lucado was also raised and preached in Churches of Christ for many, many, many years. And I heard him at a convention where we have with Church of Christ people in the Tulsa, Oklahoma, that they had it every year called the Tulsa International Soul Winning Workshop. And Max Lucado was there, and his message was about David and Goliath. And Max Lucado closed his lesson with these words. Let me make sure I get them exactly. He says, "You focus on giants, you stumble. You focus on God, your giants tumble." Amen? So where's our focus? Where's our focus? The question I want you to consider today is just simply this. What giants have you been facing? What giants have you been facing? As we've said so often, life can be hard. It can be hard. Just this morning, I talking to some people about some giants in their lives, some difficulties that they're going through. I see Julie Osorio over there. Her grandson Asher is finally home. Amen? Amen? He is home. He's been in the hospital from the day he was born. And how old is he now, Julie? It'll be 5 months. 5 months he's been in the hospital for almost 5 months from the day he was born with so many issues and health issues. And they had to learn how to take care of this little boy. He had to get stronger before he could go home. Then as he's home, there are so many things that the parents, the grandparents are having to do to care for this little baby. to care for him, to give him as good of a quality of life as they possibly can, because they love that child. And can you imagine that giant? That giant that you have to deal with. And yet by faith, they say, we've got him home. We got our boy home. We got our grandson home. And we're so thrilled and we're so happy. And yes, we will do anything we can to care for that little child, to care for that baby, because we love him so much. It's a giant in our life, but God is going to give us the strength to care for him. Dave was telling me about his mom was having some more difficulties. She's not here today. Having more health concerns and things that she's going through. Not only her, but Elizabeth. Jack came and was telling me, is it all right, Jack, that I share this? Where's Jack? Oh, there he is. Jack this morning was telling me over the past 2 weeks, Marcia has been in and out of 3 different hospitals and in doctor's offices. Her blood pressure just shot sky high. She was delirious, could hardly speak, slurred her speech. They thought that she was having a stroke, and she even tells Jack, ambulance, ambulance. Jack didn't even understand what she was saying. And then called the ambulance out there. They thought that she was having a stroke, and take her to the hospital, and all these things that she's been going through. And we know that she's been having, had that surgery, gallbladder surgery, and been having some difficulty recuperating from that, and now she's dealing with this that's going on there. I mean, that's a giant in their life, and caring for Marcia, and Marcia trying to, overcome whatever this is. And we all have those giants in our lives. As I said, it could be relational, situational, spiritual, whatever that is. We have one on our side who is bigger, stronger, and mightier than any giant that we face. Amen? Than any giant we face. And we've got to put our faith in him. We've got to put our faith in him. We're going to be singing an invitation song. During this invitation song is an opportunity for you to just look at your life, and maybe there's some things that you just want us to pray about today. If you give us that opportunity, we'd like to pray with you, to pray for you. Whatever that giant is, Jay comes up here and he says, I've got a confession to make. And knowing Jay, I thought it was just going to be some kind of funny little thing that he was talking about. But man, he was just serious and talking about struggles that he's had in his past and sins in his past. But realize that's all past, that by the blood of Jesus Christ, these have all been forgiven. These have all been forgiven. And so those, some of those struggles that you may be dealing with now, we want to pray for you. We want to help you. We want to do what we can. If we can help you in any way today, will you please come as together we stand and we sing.